Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
I get bossy with Brian on Sunday mornings with all my props, and I need help. So I'm Pastor Lisa, if you don't know who I am, and you'll have to forgive my voice from the get-go. Whenever I scream or shout during worship, it can strain my voice a little bit. So I apologize if it's a little raspy. I'm going to be preaching this morning from the ESV version of the Bible. And this is a message the Lord started giving me back in December, really after we came back from our Spain trip. Because I was asking the Lord, and I know we shared some in November, maybe it was even early December, we shared about our Spain trip and the testimonies of what God did. And really, what I asked the Lord, because it took me a good week to process with the Lord, like, what on earth just happened? Because I saw things I had never seen before. I saw God move in ways I had never seen before. And after a week of processing, I came to the conclusion that all I did was stand in front of people and tell them all of my weaknesses, insecurities, and failures, and that God chooses to use me anyway. And it's really just been a journey with the Lord that in spite of our own insecurities and our own areas where we feel insufficient and unable, He chooses us anyway to work through. So God began, I've got another message I'll probably preach next month on Gideon, because if you ever want to have a role model for insecurity, an insecure person that God chose to use, Gideon. Insecurity, fear, inferiority, he had all of those things, but God chose him anyway. But this morning, I have a gospel-centered message, and we're going to start with Genesis. We're going to go all the way back to the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden, and my husband helped me with some pictures here. Genesis 1. We're going to start with a little theology lesson. Genesis 1. Beginning with verse 26, and this is the sixth day of creation. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God, then verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So in the very beginning, God created us in perfection. We were created with an innate dignity and value and worth in the image of God. We were good. He said everything was good. It was very good. But there in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve chose to eat of the apple, something happened. Something happened there, and it is when sin entered the world. In a very simple sense, sin is just when we don't please God with our thoughts and our actions. It's when we don't please God. But sin entered the world, and what sin did was it marred our human, it marred creation. It marred us. It's like if it just messed us up. Sin put a mark, a taint, a dark spot on what God created in his image and in his likeness. Suddenly there was an area where we were not measuring up, where we were insufficient, unable. The Hebrew word for sin means to miss the mark. There's a mark, it's a bullseye, it's Jesus, it's Christ-likeness, it's holiness, it's purity. And sin is when we don't measure up to that standard. And so what happens is there's this record of wrongs, record of sins, all the areas where we fall short. Just some examples: pride, selfishness, anger, lying, greed, lust, jealousy. So the world and our own sin has marred, put a black spot. Not quite ruined, but it's not the perfect creation God wanted it to be. It's been marred by sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." So because of this sin, we deserve death. This is what we deserve. The sentence that we deserve is death. God had a standard of holiness and perfection, and because of our sin, we can no longer meet that standard. The wages of sin, basically the punishment of sin, what we all deserve without Christ, is to die. We deserve death. That is the punishment. But there's good news. If you'll turn with me to Colossians 3. Colossians 2. Turn with me to Colossians 2, and we'll start with verse 6. I'm going to read a really long passage, and then I'm going to break it down for you and help it make sense. Colossians 2, verse 6. "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he said, set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." So this is the bad news. But what we just read in Colossians 2 is the good news. Is that God had a plan to redeem, to restore, to renew his creation, and he sent his son Jesus to do that. So we're going to look at the good news today. So all of that very long passage of scripture, y'all got everything, right? You got every detail. It made perfect sense, right? It's hard when Paul writes these very long, run-on sentences, but what I like to do is break it down by the who, what, when, how, where, why. Let's look at the subject and the verb. Let's make it simple. So on your handout, I basically took some time last Sunday and just broke down the whole passage in a way that made sense to me, and I pray that it makes sense to you. But we're going to start with what Jesus did on the cross. So on your handout, it should say Colossians 2, 6 through 15, summary, part 1. So he says, "You were dead." You were dead. We deserved death because of this record of wrongs. "You were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. But when you chose to accept that sacrifice Jesus made for you, it says you have been buried with him in baptism. We're going to look at a couple more cross references to make this all make sense, hopefully. You were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. And where we're really going to camp today is you were made alive together with him. How? Having forgiven all of our trespasses. How? By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. How? By setting aside this record of debt. How? By nailing the record of debt to the cross. That's what that passage is saying. On your handout, there are a whole lot of cross references that I could probably take 6 weeks and teach to you. But I'm going to quickly just run through some of them because they go along with this passage. An important one is Romans 6, 3 to 4. It says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized with Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might walk in newness of life." So just as Jesus was dead and buried, we have been buried with him. This sin nature was put out of business. It was dead and buried. We've been baptized. We go under. It's representative of death. We come up in newness of life. Galatians 2:20 says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And then another key scripture that I've been studying this week and praying through is Isaiah 53. And I'm just going to read verses 4 through 6. And Isaiah 53 is a prophecy about Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. Because we were sentenced. We were marred with our sin. We had this record of wrongs against us. We deserved death. But it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed." Verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity." That means the sin of us all. Sin is missing the mark. Iniquity is like when you twist the mark. There's nobody that's good. This sin that marred creation touches every living person. There's no one who is good. Scripture says that our righteousness, the very best we can come up with in the presence of the Lord, it is like filthy rags. Everyone needs a Savior. There's no one who, through their own goodness, can make their way into heaven, can restore their relationship with God, can overcome this sin and that sentence that they deserve. So let's go back to Colossians 2. So Jesus took this sentence of death on the cross for us. He took that sentence. So let's spend a little bit of time. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him," referring to Jesus, "having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." So when you look at this passage and you just break it down into its most simple components, there's a record of debt. there's a record of debt of all the ways that we don't live up to God's standard. And according to the scripture, this record of debt, it stood against us. It stood against us. It prevented us from walking in that perfection that God made us to walk in, to have that innate dignity and respect and value and worth. It marred what God created, and it consisted of legal demands. Live up to the standard of holiness, standard of holiness. There's a standard of holiness. God told the people, he said to the Israelites, follow me and be holy as I'm holy. And they said, everything you said, God, we will do. And they did none of it. So from the beginning, we have not lived up to that standard of legal demands that is holiness. There is a record of debt. It stands against us. It consists of legal demands, and it started in the Garden of Eden. Before sin marred creation, there was no record of debt. But when sin entered the world and suddenly humans could no longer stand in that perfection and holiness and purity and worth that God gave to them, there was a record of debt. And there was a sentence of death. This record of debt stands against us. It stood against us. Consists of legal demands. It's all the areas where we've missed the mark. I don't know about y'all, but I missed the mark. I still miss the mark. But the scripture says this record of debt that stood against us, and Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That record of debt demands death. But it says it was canceled. This was canceled. Canceled. It was canceled because it was nailed to the cross. It was canceled. It was canceled. Nailed to the cross. So let's read that scripture again. You were made alive together with him. How? I like to start with who, you, what, you were made alive, where, together with him, how, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, by setting aside the record of debt, by nailing the record of debt to the cross. This is how we are made alive again, through the cross, together with him. That is what Jesus did for us. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you've never surrendered your life to God and just said, God, I've done so many things that are wrong, and I'm a sinner, and I've messed up, and I can't make things right. I can't be holy. I can't be pure. I can't be clean. So God, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to take my sins to the cross, to take my punishment, to take my record of debt. I thank you, Jesus, that you died for me to pay for those things, so that I could be made alive again, that I could be clean and whole and pure. You can just pray with me right now. Jesus, I just surrender this record of debt to you. I can't repay it. I can't be good. I can't be a good person. I can only look to the cross and ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and make me new. I thank you, Jesus, that all of those things, that record of debt with its legal demands that stood against me, you took it. It was set aside. It was nailed to the cross so that I could be alive together with you. In Jesus' name. Now that's the good news in a nutshell. That's the gospel. This is the good news. But it's simple. But if you've walked it out, you know that once you become a Christian, things don't just suddenly become easy. It's not easy. It's a wonderful life, but it's not always easy. So I want to ask, how many of you have or have ever had a mortgage? Anyone have had or ever had a mortgage? How about paying rent every month? It's a similar analogy. So Brian and I, we have a cabin in the mountains, and everybody's like, you're blessed, you have a cabin in the mountains, and yes, we are. But guess what we also have? A mortgage. This is it. Note. And it says, in return for the loan that I received, I promise to pay blank plus interest to the lender. I will make all payments in the form of cash, check, money order. And then it tells all the things, you know, I will pay principal and interest by making a payment every month. I will make my monthly payment on the first day of each month beginning on this date. I'll make those payments every month until I've paid it. And if you've ever had a mortgage, you know that every month they mail you a bill, and it tells you what you owe, and it tells you when it's due. And if you don't pay it, they're going to keep reminding you of it. They're going to keep reminding you of it. And that is what this record of wrongs is, because you may not, spiritually we don't have a bank, but we have an enemy, right? We have an enemy, and this is what he does. Even when you're in Christ, even when you are in Christ, this is what he does. His full-time job is to remind you of your record of wrongs, past, present, future. That is his full-time job. Is to remind you of all of these things that are on the cross. But he's reminding you, and so you go back to carrying it. Revelation 12:10 says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God in the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Day and night. That means he doesn't take a break. He doesn't take a siesta. His full-time job is to remind you of this. And then if he can't get you with this, he'll get you with some other things, or he'll try to get you. But we don't want to be ignorant of his ways. So after we're first saved, you know, these things are fresh. You know, when we first come to the Lord, those things are fresh. It's hard to forget the shame. It is hard to forget the shame and to just give the Lord the shame of some of the things that we've done. And many of us could still be carrying the baggage of those things, the weight of it. And the enemy is accusing us. He points out where we're still marred and broken and not yet like Jesus. And sometimes there are consequences of our sin. There are repercussions. There are memories. There are images. There are ways that our mind and our relationships and finances and health are affected. For me, in my past, and many of you have heard my testimony, I was sexually promiscuous 30 years ago before I came to the Lord. And even after I was married to Brian and we were starting this new life together, the enemy just kept accusing me and reminding me and accusing me and reminding me for years and years and years. But finally, as I resisted him steadfast in the faith and would repeat 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Over time, there came a point where I was able to just give this up. This is not mine. That is who I was. That person is dead. She is dead. Her sin was buried on the cross. It was taken. I no longer have to pay for that because Jesus paid it all. So sometimes it might take you a little while to come to that point where you can just truly walk in the confidence of who God created you to be. Like, y'all, I'm clean and pure. I am made white. There's no shame. But as the enemy reminds you of that record of wrongs, what we do is we just point to the cross again and again. I can't believe you did that. Jesus took it all. You're still thinking about that porn you looked at. Jesus, it's on the cross. Jesus, cleanse my mind, cleanse my heart. You are a thief. Jesus paid for that sin. You are a liar. Jesus, that may be who I was, but that is not who I am now. I am washed, I am bought, I am not my own, I am bought with a price. I will serve God with my body. I will serve God with my mind. I will walk in purity. That is who I was, but that is not who I am. And we resist him and resist and resist and resist until we finally can just let that dead person be dead and let that shame stay with Jesus on the cross. And we don't have to carry that anymore. And there are some of you here that are carrying the shame of things that Jesus paid for on the cross long ago. And many of you, the enemy has got you in a corner, and you've never told anyone that one thing that brings you so much shame. And I just encourage you to tell somebody, to bring them into it, and just say, hey, the enemy keeps reminding me of this. And I just want to bring it to the light. And I just want to expose his lies and his torment so I can be free. And that's what we offer in prayer ministry. People come and they tell us secrets they've never told anyone before. Pastors come to us and tell us things they've never told their husbands. People come because the enemy just wants to remind and accuse and bring shame and guilt so that you just feel like you can't, God, I'll never be worthy enough to serve you. It's the cross. It's the cross. So we get free from that, and then we think, okay, I've finally given you all of my sin, Lord. But the enemy still has other tactics. We do come to the point where we can say, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And as we point to the cross, we go, I call it from insufficient to cross sufficient. I don't think cross sufficient is a term, but I've made it up. We go from insufficient, where I can't pay that debt. In my own flesh, I am unworthy. I deserve punishment. But in Jesus, I'm loved and I'm forgiven and I can walk in freedom. I can walk in confidence. I don't have to walk in shame or guilt. I can hold my head up high because God loves me. And even though I'm still imperfect, I can come to the throne of grace and find grace to help in my time of need. So there's a walking it out. In our trip to Spain, there were high points and there were low points, right? Some of my team members are in here. High points and low points. And one thing I learned is that when I feel disrespected, that just hits a wound. It just hits a deep, deep wound in me. It is a deep, deep wound. And so I spent probably 6 weeks asking the Lord, like, why is that? What is it in me that I just want to be respected? And the Lord reminded me of all the way back when I was in high school. And I brought a picture. Here's me with my big hair of the 1980s. Big hair. And y'all, this was that girl who was promiscuous. This was that girl that had a bad reputation. This was that girl that everybody rejected. And what the Lord reminded me of was I just started striving for acceptance and approval at this time. And this is what I did. I said, okay, you want to reject me? I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. And I started working and striving and working and striving to be the valedictorian of my high school. And then all of you that have rejected me, guess what? You're going to have to sit and listen to me make a speech. Can y'all put that photo up? I'll show you. I'll show you. There I am with my big hair, like the little person behind the pulpit. I'll show you. But the Lord showed me it was at this point where this striving and performing for acceptance, for respect, for revenge, the I'll show you. That's where it started. All the way back then when I was rejected, and at that point I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know that I could say, God, I don't have to prove. I have no one to impress and nothing to prove. Like that's written on a sticky note in my wall. I have no one to impress and nothing to prove. But back then it was all, I'll show you. And so there are areas, you can take that down now, thank you. There are areas where still, to this day, I find myself striving for acceptance. For example, you think I'm a dumb blonde? I'll show you. I'll become a nuclear engineer and I'll get 3 degrees. Striving, performing. You think I'm weak? Let me show you my new hunting rifle I bought this week. It is a Remington 700, and it is not chambered in some little caliber. It is chambered in 270 Winchester with the Leopold, get it right, 3-9 power by 50 millimeter scope. It ain't no sissy rifle, okay? You think I'm just a wife who should just stay at home and be sweet and submitted? You think I shouldn't travel internationally by myself? Mm-mm, I'll show you. Watch me go to Costa Rica twice by myself with my husband's blessing to learn Spanish. Watch me. I'll show you. Y'all, this thing runs deep. This thing runs deep. Because there are so many areas in our lives where people have doubted us, misjudged us, disrespected us, rejected us. And instead of pointing to the cross and saying, in him I'm enough, we're like, well, let me just go do this. I'll show you. Let me just go achieve this and I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove to you. I'm going to prove to you. Y'all, I've been trying to prove to people for years that I am a good family member. Let me show you. Let me just run off and be at the hospital as soon as something happens. Let me prove that I love my family. I've been proving myself, struggling, striving, wearing myself ragged, spending money on things I don't need to just prove myself. Among the smart, I've made myself smart. Among the strong, I've made myself strong. Among the educated, I've made myself educated. Among those who've doubted me, I've tried to prove them wrong. And y'all, it is exhausting. It's like whatever you want me to be, here's my little doll, whatever you want me to be this, okay, I'll be that. You want me to be this, okay, I'll be that. It's just like a little jiggly doll. I'm going to break her. I don't want to break her. But this is what I've been doing and why. Pride, revenge, anger, a desperate cry for value, worth, and respect. Desperate cry. And y'all, I cried as I wrote this message. I cried through it because this hits a really deep point. I've been trying to prove that I'm acceptable. I've been trying to prove that I'm smart enough, strong enough, worthy enough, capable enough, brave enough. It is exhausting. Every place where I have felt insufficient, here's my record of insufficient, lacking, not good enough. Insufficient, lacking, not good enough. Insufficient, lacking, not good enough. Every area where I have felt insufficient in my flesh, I've tried to make up the difference. In my flesh. But you can never please everyone. It's exhausting, constantly striving. It's just exhausting. And I don't know about you. Like, I know what women go through. I know how women feel because I do a lot of prayer ministry with women. And that list of not blank enough is long. It is, for women especially, that I am not blank enough. It's a very long list, but I just want you to think about yourself. Where have you been trying to prove yourself? Whether it's in the workplace or at church, in your family, in your neighborhood, in politics, wherever it may be, where are you trying to prove yourself? Where are you striving to perform in order to gain acceptance? Where do you try to impress? Where do you embellish a little bit to impress? Where are you trying to prove them wrong? I'll show you. Where are you insecure? Where are you not enough? There was a few weeks ago where I was here and I was worshiping, and y'all, I've been trying false eyelashes, okay? I've just been trying false eyelashes. And like before church that morning, I had spent all this time trying to get my false eyelashes to work. If any of you know how to do it, like, there's an art. I haven't figured it out yet. There's little eyelashes all over my house because I can't get them on, okay? That's why I don't have any on today. But I'm down here on the floor, and I'm just like, Lord, like, why do I care? You know, when I got in the presence of the Lord, why am I trying so hard? But it's because there are areas of insufficiency. There are areas where creation was marred by sin, and I'm trying to make up the difference. And what the Lord showed me is only Jesus makes up that difference. Only Jesus can make up that difference where you feel insufficient. Like, even in the confessing of sin, God, I don't want to be like I am sometimes. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be prideful. I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to be afraid. But there are areas where we still feel insufficient and lacking and not good enough. And what the Lord just showed me is from the beginning, there was a deficiency. But when Jesus came, he took all of that. Every area where we are insufficient and lacking, I'll show you, and not good enough. He took it. He took it. He took it. So we can have performance to gain acceptance, or the cross guarantees acceptance. The world's demands versus the sufficiency of the cross. He took it. All the accusations. All of it. Jesus took it. We have areas, all of us, areas today where we are insufficient, where we are lacking, where we are not good enough. And it's okay, because the cross makes up the difference for us. The cross makes up the difference. That's why Jesus can use imperfect people, because the cross makes up the difference. Jesus, when we're lacking, he makes up the difference. The thing we couldn't pay, he paid. The record of wrongs against us, he took it. The areas where we're still struggling, he just says, bring it to me, baby girl, I got it. Bring it to the cross. You don't have to carry that burden and let the enemy keep pointing it out. Hang it up on the cross. Hang it up. Be done with it. Put it on the cross. This is on your handout. Where I am insufficient, the cross makes up the difference. The enemy accuses me of sin and weakness. And I just point to the cross. And I say, Jesus. Y'all, this morning, I was saying, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I know today is not about me. But when it comes to preaching, y'all, I got it. Like, I love to preach. I love to preach. Like, I am in my element. Yo puedo predicar en inglés. Yo puedo predicar en español. Like, give me a language. I love to preach. Leadership, like, God in the ship. Ooh, that's hard. But then also to lead an army, insufficient. And so this morning, I'm like, I don't know how to do this, Lord. I don't know how to do this. I've never been in this position. I can't do this on my own, Lord. Jesus. Like, I'm this sweet little church lady. Jesus. 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 The cross makes up that difference from where we are to where the Lord wants to use us. But we have to give it to the Lord and just, God, I give that to you. This is how you go from insufficient to cross sufficient. In 2 Corinthians 3, this is on your handout, Paul writes, not that we are sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. The only place you will find true acceptance is at the cross. The only place. The only place. Because we're human. And even when people do say loving words of acceptance because of our own history and stories and wounds, we might even take their words and they hit us the wrong way and we get defensive. So even with the most loving and perfect person, we can still feel rejected at times. But the only place where there's true acceptance is right here. It's when you take that record, you surrender to the Lord and you say, God, I give you that record of wrongs. I give you that sin. I thank you for taking the sentence of death. We give all of that to him. But as we keep walking and the enemy comes and accuses us, he knows where you're insufficient. He knew all the way back from when I was 18 years old how I just wanted respect. And he'll point to those things and point it out and use it against you. But we take it to the cross. We take it to the cross. Every area where we lack, he makes up the difference. He makes up the difference. This is on your handout. We have to find our sufficiency, our completeness, our enoughness on the cross. Jesus was enough. Jesus was enough. To him, we are enough. In him, we are enough. With him, we are more than enough. Because in every place we are lacking, the cross makes up the difference. So as I wrap this up today, I want us to look at this on your handout. It says 2 Corinthians, where did that come from? Colossians 2, summary, part 2. That's a typo. This is taking the rest of that passage, and this is the rest of my diagramming. Because of all these things that we've just learned about what Jesus did on the cross. Because you are, where are you? In him. Because you have been filled, where? In him, who is the head of all rule and authority. He says, because of these things, this is what you're supposed to do. Walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, not captive by philosophy and empty deceit, to human tradition, to the elemental spirits of the world, to a system which is not according to Christ. To me, that was saying not captive to all these lies and insecurities and all the areas where the world tells you you're not enough. Don't be captive to all those things that are not according to Christ. And it wraps up that passage, in him, rulers and authorities are disarmed. Rulers and authorities are put to open shame. Rulers and authorities are triumphed over. These things no longer have the power to keep you from being the person God created you to be. Rulers and authorities have been triumphed over. Where? In the cross. The enemy can come and lie, but he doesn't have the final say. We point to Jesus. Every area where we feel we don't measure up, we point to the cross. Sounds easy. It's harder to walk it out. And I think where I want to encourage you today is, you know, we're all on this journey. We're all on a journey of being made more like Jesus. It's sanctification. Once we become in Christ, we start that journey of walking it out. God begins to clean us up and help us deal with areas of sin and renew our mind and teach us the word. But he doesn't just want to leave us there. He wants to use us. And in order for God to use us and for us to walk in that confidence of who he created us to be, we have to learn how to deal with those insecurities, the areas where we feel insufficient, not good enough, less than, lacking. Because it's just going to be fear that's going to hold you back. We have a mission trip coming up to Brazil, May 26th through June 3rd. And some of you, God may be stirring in your heart. You should go to Brazil. And you're saying, oh, they just want the spiritual people. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I can't do enough. They don't want me. I used to always say, they want Miss Addie. They don't want me. And that's just the enemy. It's just the enemy saying, oh, Lisa, you're not enough. But in order for God to use this body to build the kingdom the way he wants to, we have to take those things to the cross and just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to you, whether I feel insufficient or not. I'm going to bring those things to you, and I'm going to let you use me. I'm going to be found in you. I'm going to let my roots grow down deep in you. I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to be sufficient through the cross. Cross sufficient. And that's where we want to be. Amen? Amen. So I want to invite the ministry team to come up. If you're on the ministry team, I know some have had to leave early, and some are with Pastor Tom. I do just want to encourage y'all to give him time to rest. He's resting today and recovering, and just refrain from going to the hospital and pray for him at home and continue to fast as the Lord leads you. I believe the fast was supposed to be officially over tomorrow, but let the Lord continue to lead you as you fast and pray. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the plans you had for us this day, Lord. You're not caught by surprise, Lord. In your book, they were written all the days of my life, even before there was one of them, Psalm 139 says. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today that has not brought that list, that record of wrongs to you and nailed it to the cross, I pray that even now, God, that they would bring those things to you and that they would realize there's a sentence of death that they could never pay, but Jesus, you chose to pay that for them on the cross, through your body being nailed to the cross, through your blood. I thank you, Lord, that that record of wrongs that stood against us has been taken out of the way. It's been removed, and it's been nailed to the cross. And I thank you, Lord, that even those insecurities, those areas where the enemy still dogs us, we can bring those things to you and surrender those things to you. And I thank you, Lord, that we find true acceptance in the cross. And Lord, I pray that if there are any here that have been striving, Lord, working so hard for acceptance or to prove themselves, Father, I pray that you would encourage them today that in the cross, in Jesus, that they are enough, God, that they are enough. Jesus made up all the difference where we are deficient and lacking. God, Jesus restored us back to that perfect creation in the garden, worthy of dignity and respect because we're created in your image. So I just thank you, Lord, for this day. I just release a blessing upon these people, God, upon this house, upon this, your church, upon our city, our state, and our nation. Thank you, Lord, for the revival that you are bringing here. Thank you, Lord, that you are getting us ready. And we thank you, Jesus, and we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6:30. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.